Sunday morning, 12:23. I have here 24. God, I don't want 24 yet. Let's make it through 23. All right, the title is called The Grace to Stand. We're going to start in Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to look at verses 13 and 14 there. It says here, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." So stand just means literally or physically to stand. This passage, a lot of people equate this to a natural stand, but I believe it is a natural stand, but it's also a mental stand. I'd say the mental is more so than physical stand. Because if you can't stand mentally, you won't stand physically. All right, loins here, right here. We just read here. No, we didn't. Talking about the loins. I'm find it. Yeah, it's the I just read it. Having your loins girt. Loins there means the hip or procreative power. Peter had a little bit to stand say about that. We're going to look at what he had to say. This is 1 Peter 1. Remember that. The hip, it's procreative power. 1 Peter 1, 3 and 4. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope and resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away." And I guess I did the wrong one. Let's go to 2 Peter. Well, maybe that's it. I'm not surprised. Let me see here. I don't know.
Chapter 1, 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 13.
Yeah, that's it. It says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance." Let me write that down. So we see here Peter is talking about the loins of your mind. All right. What does the mind do? That's where you produce. It's your heart. All right, mind, will, and emotions. All right, this stand is by divine power, not willpower. You can just go so far on willpower and you're done, you're spent. All right, gird here is to prepare oneself for action. I can see the symbolism here of natural conception and birth. That's what a stand is. Something you begin and you see it through to the end, to birth, till you see what you want to see. All right? This is how God operates. This is how his children operate. This is Genesis 1. This is just foundational stuff here, but it's good. If you got a strong foundation, you'll be able to stand. Genesis 1, 1 through 3. "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light." Then 26, And God said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And how were they going to do this? Same way God did it. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. This is what they were going to do, the same thing God did. All right. Spiritual conception and birth. The first time I ever heard of this term was from, we were going to a Pentecostal church, a universal Pentecostal church. But the pastor there, it was just a little bit different, and the people rebelled against him because they were old school and they didn't want no new fandangle ideas, but they didn't realize what he was bringing was scripture. He talked about Youngie Cho and how Youngie Cho envisioned a bicycle, a desk, chair, and something else. He'd tell everybody, I'm pregnant, and they made fun of him, but he got it. And I remember that because I believed for a son. By the end of that year, I had one, simply because of what I heard that day. All right. This is perfectly in line with Genesis chapter 1. God saw his spirit. It was conceived in his mind and spoken with his mouth. See, the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. This is how we are made, and this is our stand. This is what the term standing for things is all about. It's about getting an image in your mind, conception. And then it's about speaking and standing until you see the manifestation. All right? Here's another passage in Scripture that bears that out. This is Proverbs chapter 4. Tells him to guard his heart, for out of it comes all the issues of life. 4:20 says, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. That isn't the blood pump. And they are life unto those that find them, and help to all their flesh. Keep thy heart, mind, with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he, right? Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. This is what undermines what you have already spoken and said. Let thine eyes look right on, and thine eyelids look straight before thee. Not looking back. I'm talking about looking back. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all thy ways establish. Turn not to the right hand or to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. You really can't say it any plainer than that. It's guarding what you have spoken, what you have created, just like you were pregnant. You guard that baby with all that's in you until it's born. All right, here it is. Proverbs 18:21, death and life in the power of the tongue. In that 18:21, they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof, for life or death. So that's our production center. We can say a lot of things happen to us because of this and that, but really a lot of things just come because of what we said. It is not in God's power in this respect, but it's in the person's power. God said, you do it my way. He didn't say, I'll do it for you. He said, you do it. I've made you just like me, to act just like me, to produce just like me. All right, we follow our Heavenly Father's pattern set down from the beginning. Is it any wonder that God's word is under fire? The devil wants to steal that word and get it out and cause people to abandon the Bible and say it's not any good today, the left part's out or whatever. Well, I'm telling you what, if he gave you one word, one of his words is more powerful than any word in this world. So why, you know, why would he do that? Because he comes to steal the word because he knows what we can do. He knows our ability. He knows they're just like God. They just don't know it. And if I can keep them to where they don't know it, then I've got them. Which is most of the church, sorry to say. Most have no clue about this. They're going, why I don't understand why I'm going through this. And they've spoken it out of their mouth. They've pronounced their own death or their own circumstances. And they wonder, what the heck's going on? What are you doing, God? He didn't do anything. He gave you the power to do it. He'll let you kill yourself if you want to. But he'll let you live if you want to. It's all based on your words. All right. Within it lies death and life. Our whole creation exists by this method. He made all things by the word of his power. So do we. Okay, Hebrews 1. I guess that's why Satan has this propaganda machine and 24/7 commercials and everything in your face all the time, because he wants you to say what he wants you to say, not say what God says you can have. All right, Hebrews 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. So he created with his words everything you see. And unfortunately, by your words, you've created what you see. Or fortunately, depending on what camp you hang in. All right. The problem we have today is the enemy of our soul. Why our soul? This is where the creation process is. I'm talking spiritually. Procreative power, loins, the procreative power in the spirit realm. Satan is there to disrupt this process. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy your pregnancy. He wants you to abort. Why do you think people that follow Satan, they're heavy into abortion? They want to abort anything that has life in it. Anything. God's word, God's people, babies, the most innocent, most precious thing before God. Okay, Revelation 12. Show you a picture of this in Revelation. So what's going on in our world's been going on since Satan was loose down here, kicked out of heaven. There appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. Her child was caught up to God and to his throne. How did Jesus come? God spoke it, 400 years prior, something like that? Might be longer than that. He spoke it through his prophets. Huh? How do we prevail? Right here, verse 11 and 12. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives to the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. He's working night and day to try to cause us to abort. We're not going to. He can't do it. Not if we stand our ground and don't let him. He wants you to miscarry. This is 13 through 17. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time, times and half time, from the face of the serpent. The serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that she might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. A flood of filth is what we see today. A flood of filth. Of every kind of filth that you can imagine. Some that you never imagined. Why? To counter our creating. He does not want us creating and giving birth. Because he knows if we do, he's done for. Here's the history of the world in a nutshell. It's all about this, no matter what anyone says. That's what it is. Death and life and the power of the tongue. I've given you the ability to create just like me. Go do it. He told Adam, put him in the garden now. Go do what I did. Keep it, maintain it. We haven't done a very good job, have we? The simplicity of God's word and what he has laid down, men stumble all over it. It's the simplest, easiest thing in the world to understand. But people do not want to hear it. They want to believe some kind of cock and bull lie. They'll believe anything any expert doctor tells them. They'll lay down on a table and let somebody cut them up and trust them. But they won't trust God. Why? Because it don't get it fast enough. We don't get it. We have to wait. That's what pregnancy does. You have to wait on the baby. You got to wait on it. People want instant. I got to get rid of this pain. I got to get rid of it now. I want it. Do it now. People have lost their lives doing that when they didn't have to. It's easier for them to give heed to fables and myths over his word. Big pharma, witchcraft. I'd rather go to the witch doctor than go to God. Why? Because you have to do something. There it is in a nutshell. Because you have to do something. You have to stand. You have to wait for birth. They don't want to do that. I want it now. Well, who doesn't want it now? But it's a stand. All right, let's keep going here. 1 Peter 2. Unfortunately, I'm preaching to the choir this morning. All right, 1 Peter 2, 1. Doesn't hurt to reinforce. It says here, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also are lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wouldn't it stand to reason that a spiritual house used God's medicine? Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but now are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now obtained mercy. You know, people don't realize, and they're going to realize, and they're going to realize pretty soon, and they're going to be horrified of what choices they've made, because Satan has used witchcraft to enchant. Witchcraft. That's what big pharma is. You can look it up in the Strong's. It is pharmakia. It's witchcraft. It's a work of the flesh. Galatians 5. But they'll get on there, and they've been a Christian all their life, and they're pushing all these cures of this and that and everything. Well, we pray too, but you got to keep yourself healthy. You got to take all this stuff every day. It's witchcraft. All right. That's what I see in the Truther movement. Some get it right, but most are just stumbling over the same old thing over and over. The big pharma thing's a big thing among the Truther movement. They've moved from big pharma to the health part, which is just the same the same serpent with a different head. Anything but believing God. No, it takes too long. I have to stand. Why do that when I can go to the doctor and let him shoot me up and I'm fine? Because there's going to be a day that you're going to need to use your faith and you're not going to know how. And it might cost you your life. Okay, let's keep going here. 2 Corinthians 11:3. Paul's making this statement here. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Simplicity just means singleness. When you've done all to stand, you just stand. It's pretty simple, isn't it? John 10. Verse 10. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I'm come that they might have life, they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. Someone said to me the other day that they were in a hospital and they were talking about, it's a relative that she was talking to them about that she wouldn't allow, she was staying there because she wouldn't allow them to give this person a COVID vax. And this doctor says, oh yeah, but they were mandated. You know, the doctor said that shot was mandated. He said, that's unfortunately, he got caught in that. And I was saying, I thought, yeah, one of these days when he stands before a tribunal, he's the one that's going to be sorry he got caught up in that. Because they're not going to, because they were pushing it. That's what they mean. They're mandated. So we had to do it. We just were doing what we were told. You know what? The Nazis said that too before they hung them. This is how serious this is. I am the good shepherd. And know my sheep, and am known of mine, As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus gave his life so that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Guard your pregnancy with everything in you. That is your stand. Guard the things that you're believing God for with everything, because the enemy is coming to try to steal it from you. Those in the Faith Hall of Fame did not miscarry. They didn't miscarry. That's why they're there. You ever wonder why there's so few there? When you think about Moses and his bunch, when you have two out of possibly, they say there could have been 1 million people. 3 million. Well, excuse me, 3 million. That's even worse. Two people out of 3 million people believed God, even after they saw all the miracles in Egypt, saw God deliver them, the Red Sea, the manna. We're going to read that. Hebrews 11. We're going to see. It wasn't a cakewalk for them. But they prevailed. That's why they're in the Faith Hall of Fame. And I believe every one of us that stand will be in the Faith Hall of Fame. Jesus talks about revelation to those that overcome. Start with one there. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. So they used their faith to get a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So here's God, just what I read to you in Genesis 1:1-3. There it is. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Their pattern for what they did was what they read in Genesis chapter 1. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. His blood cried out to God. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that it pleased God. Every one of these, whether they died or not, they received what they stood for. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, we've all used the system not knowing any better. But the thing is, when we stand before God, will he be able to look at our faith? Will he be able to see our stand, or did we take the easy way out? By faith Noah, being warned of God of things, or being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. They made fun of him for 120 years. That old coot on the hill, you know, that conspiracy theorist out there? What happened? The day it started to rain, they was beating on that ark trying to get in. They were screaming with all their might, oh, help us, please help us. He said, no can do. The Lord shut me in. I can't get out. I can't do anything to help you. You should have listened to me the 120 years that I tried to help you. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac, Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He wasn't really looking for land. He was looking for God and God's land. He wasn't looking for no city built by a person. He wanted the one that's built by God. Well, he's there. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. 90-year-old woman. They can't even help a 90-year-old woman have a baby today. But God can. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. We're an unseen breed. People say they're Christians. Well, let me see your faith. Because God's children walk by faith. You can't get born again without your faith. Don't tell me you don't got no faith. Don't tell me you can't use your faith. You couldn't get born again without your faith. He said he's not pleased when you don't use your faith. They paid the price for using their faith. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country. What's that? That's God country. That isn't heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them, called New Jerusalem. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. You know what they're doing with this scripture today? Today they're saying, oh God, you can tell the Bible's all messed up. God wouldn't tell somebody to kill his son. Well, he killed his own. He let his own be killed. Anything to try to mess with the scripture. Anything to discount God. It's just amazing to me. People that know nothing about spiritual things say, well, you know what church is? It's just going out on a hill somewhere and sitting by a tree and meditating. I'm just going, you people are so screwed up. You don't have any clue what the church really is. They're all into the New Age stuff. It's overtaken. I thought, why don't you call it what it is? Why don't you call it, based on the Bible, what it is instead of all this messed up words that you put to make it sound like it's magic, New Age. Satan's doing anything he can to discount God's word, making it something it is not. Of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph in worship, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who's invisible. That's the very commission the Lord's given us, to set people free from the stronghold of their minds. Just like Moses brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. Getting people to change their mindsets. To think like God and to act like God. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover, the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. Jesus was called out of Egypt. We're being called out of Egypt. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, and of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the alien. The stand of faith sometimes is not easy. But if you will not back down and you will just keep putting one hand in front of the other, keep that hand to the plow and quit looking back, you may plow an inch a week, but you will get there. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had trial of cruel mockings and scourging. Yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about as sheepskins, goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. Of whom the world was not worthy, they wandered in deserts and in mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. We're all on the same team here. All of us, those that have gone before us in their stand of faith in what we're doing today, we're all connected. And God's going to connect us all. We're all going to be all one. The city of God. From creation to salvation, it all came about because of God's word. All of it. All right, this is cool. Just a minute. Luke chapter 1, this would have been a good Christmas message, but anyway. Luke chapter 1. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary. For thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then Mary said unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come on thee, and the power of the Highest shall overthrow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Creation. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. The moment she said that, she conceived by the Holy Ghost, by the Word of God, just like Genesis 1. Yeah, just that simple. All right, 2. This is Luke 2. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary as a spouse wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were there in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this sign shall be, this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. They came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that he had heard and seen as it was told them. All right, John chapter 4, verse 14. Or John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So God's Word created the Savior. It became flesh. That's how God operates. That's how we operate. Psalm 105:70 says, He sent his Word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. 1 Peter 2:24. By his stripes ye were healed. He sent his Word and healed them. The Faith Hall of Fame is not complete without us. Go back to Hebrews. Whose own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin shall live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. He's already sent his Word and healed you. It's up to you what you do with it. All right, back to Hebrews 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about, verse 1, with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. See, this is that stand, the race that's before us. You don't stop. And you know about running. You know about racing when you run track. You don't look side to side. You don't look back. You look forward. What? The goal. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, just as sure as the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's how sure God's Word is to us concerning what He did for us. Ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof ye all are partakers, then you are bastards, not sons. It's kind of like that you were talking to me about yesterday, about how they temper the rods or they temper the steel. If it's not tempered, it's not used. It can't be used. But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit. It's for our good. Our fathers did it because they wanted peace and quiet. But not God, it was for our benefit, our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. He wanted to give us the kingdom. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous nevertheless. Afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. I put here lame brains. A lame brain. That's like Lodabar. He is under the table. What did David do? Lifted him up, put him at the king's table. He had a low brain, lame brain mentality. God wanted him at the king's table. All right. I think you get the point there. When a woman is pregnant, the load begins to get heavy. But she must wait patiently for the birth. Part of the stand is patience. We're going to look at patience. A lot of good scriptures about patience. We're going to look at a lot of them. Romans chapter 5. Verse 1 there. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Patience there means cheerful endurance or constancy. Romans chapter 8. This is a passage that we read all the time. Verse 25 there. Well, no, 26. Wrote that wrong. Verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. So in this stand of faith, praying in the Spirit will help us to maintain our stance. It says he helps because of our infirmities. Yeah. Romans 15, 4 and 5. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. All right, with that, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Is that right? Yeah, 6. Get me a drink. All right, verse 1. We then as workers together with him beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by longsuffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the arm of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things, O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our hearts enlarged. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. Now for a recompense in the same I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. He's talking to them about how you act when you stand. Isn't that what a trial is? It's a stand. Yeah, having the right kind of behavior when you stand. Let me read that again. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straitened in us, but we are straitened in your own bowels. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye enlarged. What are you talking about? Keep the right mental stance. I don't care what you're going through is what he's saying, whether it's good or bad. Maintain an even stance. When you say, when you've done all to stand, you stand firmly in your place. All right, here's that cheerful endurance and constancy that God is looking for. I'm thinking, Lord, I don't want to have to be here again. He's watching how we act, right? See if we need to go one more trip around the mountain. I don't want to go around the mountain again. All right, Colossians 1. This is the Colossians prayer, actually. Starting with verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father who has made us meet to be partakers in the heritage of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. All right, 2 Thessalonians 1:4. So that we ourselves glory in you and the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. Whole lot of people seen the trouble we've seen. Those that walk by faith. All right, 1 Timothy 6:11-12. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Keeping your mouth right, even in trial. 2 Timothy 3:10, starting with verse 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You know, I was reading the book by Rick Renner on the Apostles and Prophets, and he is talking about when Paul was stoned, He said when they stoned a victim, they made sure they went for the head. Their object was to crush the skull to make sure they were dead. So that shows you Paul was dead, more than likely was dead. And that's when he probably was resurrected and God restored him, sent him back. Yeah. Okay. It's Titus 2. Did I read 6, 1 through 13? Yes, I read Colossians. But did I do 2 Timothy 3? Okay. All right, Titus 2. Bespeak thou the things that become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behaviors, becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Just think about that. This is what the church is going to have to return to right here. This is what needs to be taught in the church for to lay down the right doctrine in the church and for it to go forward. You talk about the most messed up bunch of people in the planet today. Which a planet is nothing but a plane, are the young people. They're messed up as Hogan's goat. They've been indoctrinated. That's why they go after the children. So the rest of the kind of people, the kind of kids that are being raised up today, our world cannot survive. They cannot. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort, rebuke with all authority, let no man despise thee. In other words, what I'm saying is this. The young people of today are our future leaders. Yeah. If they don't have the right stuff put in them, they won't be able to lead. Well, just think about how wonderful the world would be if we really had this. It's going to come again. That's where the Lord's taking us. That's what's going to change our world and put it back in divine order. It's his word. Creation from his word. We'll indoctrinate with the word of God to bring forth righteousness instead of sin. All right, Hebrews 6. Starting with verse 10 there. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying will I multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. I think that's all I want to read on that. All right. So, let's keep going here. Hebrews 10. 32. call to remembrance the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions. It sounds like people that do right get affliction, doesn't it? It sounds like it's not, it's just common. That's just the way it is. It is the way of things. Because you're going against the God of this world and it's all that that entails. Partly whilst you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst you became companies of them that were so used. For ye had compassion on me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Ye have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. For the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul hath no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Then he goes on to talk about now faith. Yeah, pregnancy. James chapter 1. Verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Yeah, gotta hold on. All right, 5, James 5. 7 and 8. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. All right, 10 and 11. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and tender of mercy. Yeah. 2 Peter 1, verse 3. According to his divine power, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Yeah. Besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness charity. For all these things, being you in abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see far off, hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. All right, a few more. Revelation 2. Verse 1 and 2. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holds the 7 stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. Verse 19, that same chapter. I know thy works in charity and service and faith and thy patience, and thy works in the last to be more than the first. All right, 3:10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. That's good, because we're sitting right there. All right, one more. Revelation 14:12. I think one more. 14:12. Here's the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Your view is key to gird up the loins of your mind. Your view. When you view things correctly, you will say the correct words. Then we with patience wait for its manifestation. I'm wrong. I've got a few more. Do I need to read that again? Okay. Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. All right, go back to Colossians. This is Colossians 2:10. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Complete here means to make replete, to cram, level up a hollow, furnish, satisfy, execute, finish, or verify. And I'd say here, the seed is in itself. When the word of God was planted in Mary, the only thing needed was patience. The seed has the components in it to produce after its kind, plants, vegetables, fruits, animals, or humans. The seed is the word of God, and we call the seed what we want it to be. We stand on that word, the seed and the scripture, and see it through. As Father did, so do we. All right? Romans 4. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not to only that which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham as the father of us all. As it is written, I made thee the father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Be not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. This is my take on it. I believe, according to God, whatever the word says is already done. And there's a point in the process that it becomes a reality to you too, and you see it too. But the fact is, it was already done. Whether you see it or not, it's already done. This is a stand I'm talking about, the stand you take until the birth of what you have planted. How do you maintain that stand? Galatians 5 tells us to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And it talks about it lists, you know, you list the flesh and it lists the Spirit. It says the flesh profits nothing. I encourage you today to say what you want and don't look back. God has already said that you can have what you say. I'm going to read one more and we'll be done. Mark 11. We're going to start with 11. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem into the temple, and when he had looked round about upon the things, and now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12, and on the morrow when they were come, for Bethany he was hungry, seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if happily he might find anything thereon, and he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet, and he answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever, and his disciples heard it. In verse 20, and in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter called unto remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. What is this? It's a stand. All right, stay in peace, maintain your stand, do not look back to check and see if it happened or is happening. See, when you do that, when you let symptoms be the thing that you're checking to see if your faith is working, that's the wrong thing to be looking at. You need to be looking at the Word. Keep your focus on what you've already said. Thank God that you already have it and receive it, and it will come. Birth.